Welcome, welcome. We good? Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we love you. Again and again and again, Father, we can't thank you enough for the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, Father, that has allowed us, Father, to partake of your holiness, Lord, that has allowed us, Lord, to partake of your nature, that has allowed us to partake of your mercy and grace every day, Father, that has allowed us to partake of your goodness over our lives, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory, Father. Just pray that your word goes forth, Father, and that you would minister to your children, Father. You would minister to those who need comfort, and you would minister those, Father, who are just growing, Lord, and meet all of us where we're at, Father. And you have a way of doing that, Father. You know how to do that, Lord. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We just give this time to you, Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 21 and 22. And so I personally have been extremely blessed in going through Leviticus. I mean, it's just answered a lot of questions. You know, just a lot of stuff that's going out there in the church and you know, it just answers a lot. It connects a lot of dots for me, right? What grace looks like, followed by sanctification and holiness. You know, we throw that word grace around a lot. And I'm telling you, grace doesn't exempt us from holiness. And that's what I learned through Leviticus. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh, you could be too hard or too, you know. No. Grace does not exempt us from holiness. And so, right, when we know that eternal life comes through the door of grace, right? But immediately, once you are saved, the sanctification process begins. And God is going to work in your life immediately. It's not even an option. You come to faith, sanctification process begins, and you learn to walk in holiness, right? We learn to walk in the Lord's ways. And this is what we've been learning from Leviticus chapter 18 to 22. We're going to finish off is holiness from God's perspective, right? We don't have that kind of perspective. And so that's why this book is tremendously important for us to go through and to study, because we don't have the perspective that God has about holiness. What we think about it got us in trouble. Right? And so, but you know, where do you learn that? You learn that through the Word, studying the Word. You learn this holiness from teachings, from listening, from just, you know, and then you start applying it. That's the key. Applying it. Once you start applying it, you'll see yourself walking in the Lord's ways. Right? We can't just hear it. We got to start apply it. And then that's where real growth happens. That's where you see yourself separating from that old man, that old woman. When we hear it, we start applying it, and we just little by little, right? And we know we're going to fail. We're going to fail, and that's why the blood is continually washed over our lives. And so holiness is always related to the purpose and will of God. When God calls us to holiness, it's not because, like, he's just trying to make it difficult for us. He's like, man, I want to work through you. I want to use you. And so holiness is always related to the purpose and the will of God. And so that's why when you look at these churches who are just saying, man, it's okay to live in willful sin, God loves you, and it's like they're off. I don't know how else to say it. They're just off. They're just off. The progressive church, the liberal churches that are just, you know, having men and women stand behind this pulpit teaching the word of God in willful sin. Like, I'm just trying to be nice about it. They are off. It's off. And so we're going to work through this and have patience with me. Leviticus was interesting. Leviticus 21, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, right, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. First thing we see here is the Lord spoke to Moses. Okay, this is revelation that God gave to Moses to give to the high priest, to give to the people. And I just, you know, I've said this before, and I feel like it's been a long time since I said it. We have to be careful with people saying that God always speaks to them. Just have to be careful. Not that God doesn't speak to his children, but we have to be careful. There are people who are not even obeying the basic principles of the Lord and saying, and God has given them great revelation. That is scary. That is scary. You know, won't submit to the husband, won't respect their husband, or won't love their wife, right? Right? Won't raise their kids, won't disciple their kids, won't forgive their neighbor, but God has given me this great revelation. We must be careful, right? We have enough that we have to walk in obedience, you know? Just be careful. And I'm not saying God can do anything he wants, and he will speak, and he does speak to different people at different times. But we got to be careful. This is special revelation that God gave to Moses to give to the priests, to the sons, and then we'll see to the people. We have the word of God. And this is enough. This is enough. And then so when we look at the word of the Lord came to Moses, to the priests, and to the sons of Aaron. And he said, say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. So we can look at this in three ways. Right? You are priests. Did you know that? You are spiritual priests. You go to people on behalf of God and share the goodness of God to them. Right? You're a spiritual priest. And we see that where? We see that in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, right, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because he called you out of darkness into marvelous light, you are now a priest. So we can look at it that, you know, this is speaking to us. We can look at it from the perspective of elders, right? And we know that the pastoral epistles, you know, that pastors and elders and leaders have a higher standard. They're called to a higher standard of living, right? And so, or obviously, it's pointing to Christ, because Christ is the high priest. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the altar. He's the tent. He's everything, right? And so we're just going to work through it in different ways. But you can, you know, most people just look at this. These are the elders, and they teach it from the commentaries that I read are from the elders' perspective. And so, but why were the priests and their sons, and Aaron and his sons, not allowed to come near the dead? Right? Because the dead represents the old man, the old woman. Right? And so you think, you know, they couldn't go to their friends' funerals? No, they couldn't. And they couldn't, you know, distant family members? No, they couldn't. They were held to a higher standard. You know, so we could just look at that and be like, wow, that kind of sucks for them, right? They just can't do these things. But no, there's a greater picture in this, right? Because we know that it's a picture of Christ, but we know that we are in Christ. And so they have to, right? Their actions and their reflections reflect those of Christ. And so they couldn't go to the dead, because they couldn't go back to that old life. It was a picture of going back to that old life, going back to the old ways, going back to the old flesh, right? But then when you read in verse 2, it says, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his sons, his daughter, his brother. Also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has had no husband, for her he may defile himself. Otherwise, he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people to profane himself. So he calls him a chief man, this priest. This is not the high priest. This is a priest. And he says, you can't go see anybody who has died, but you can go see your mother. You can go see your father. You can go see your son, right? He can go still see those people who are closest to him, his virgin, virgin sister, right? Why is that? Now, why can't he go to see his friends, but he can see his family? Right? It's a picture of Christ. Again, it's a picture of 2 Corinthians 5:21. Right? He made him sin. I forgot it. He made him who knew no sin to become sin, right? That we may become the righteousness of God. That's what it is. You see, the priest is a picture of Christ. He went to the burial of his family. And it says that he became defiled. Who became defiled on your behalf? Christ became defiled on your behalf. Why? Because you are his family. Right? He stepped out of heaven and came down, put on his earthly garments and said, I'm going to go and take that wrath for them. And so that's what it's saying here. Right? Otherwise, if we just read it, he can't see his friends, but he can see his family. But why? We have to see that it points to Christ. Right? They should not mourn. Verse 5, they should not mourn. I'm sorry, they should not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor any cuttings in their flesh. And so the only thing that I can think about this is 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where he says that we mourn differently. Okay? So they weren't allowed to mourn the way the rest of the world mourned, and that's the way they mourned. Right? We mourn differently. As believers, we understand that brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be with God, and we're going to be with them. Right? And so we mourn differently. And then it says, verse 6, they shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. Because the name of God is on them, and because they offer the bread of God, which are the sacrifices, right? It says, they shall be holy. And so these are the standards for these priests. And again, you can look at it, okay, it's pointing to Christ, or it's pointing to you, or it's pointing to leaders in the church. But there's a standard, there's a calling that God has given us and how to live. And it says right there, and not profane the name of the Lord. Can I tell you something? When you came to Christ, he put his name on you. He vouched for you. Right? You now partake of the nature and the goodness of God. When you say, man, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, you have taken on his characteristic. You have taken on his nature, his who he is, how he thinks, right? And yes, we do fail. But that when he put his name on you, and so when we leave here, you must remember that the name of the Lord is on you. And that should cause us to live differently. Right? That should cause us and to reflect the way God thinks and God lives. Remember, we're looking at holiness from God's perspective, not our perspective. We don't have that perspective, but he's given us that perspective. Verse 7, they shall not take a wife who is a harlot or defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Right? And so, you know, sounds like he's saying, like, don't go to Hollywood and don't pick up a prostitute. Right? That's what it sounds like he's saying. Right? And, you know, the marriage, a divorced. Right? It, just so you understand, in Ephesians 5:32, right, he's talking about marriage, and then he says, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church. And so when people are divorced, it's destroying, it's tearing apart what God has put together and was trying to exemplify in marriage, right? That the husband is the Jesus, the Christ figure, and the bride is the church, right? And it's a picture of Christ and his church. And so that's why it's pointing to that. Otherwise, we just think, okay, he just can't do those things. But no, he can't defile himself with those things. But at the same time, Christ, God couldn't defile himself with harlots, right? With those who have other gods, other husbands, are married to other deities. Right? And do you see the picture here? You know, it's Christ and his holiness. Like, Jesus couldn't take on this wife because she was unclean. And we're going to see later on how he does take on a virgin wife. Verse 8, therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, sanctify you. I am holy. Right? And so then he talks about holiness, talks about not defiling himself, then he talks about holiness again. Right? reflecting the calling of the Lord. Verse 9, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. And so, this is the kind of passages right here that people just absolutely dislike Christian churches. You know, they say stuff like, you have a loving God, and you're telling me that if that girl left her home, right, and became a harlot, that God was going to burn her back in the day? Here's the reality of this, okay? These are divine laws to show us a spiritual picture, to give us a spiritual picture, to give us spiritual understanding, okay? That's a tough thing to talk about, right? And so when we look at this passage, what is it, right? From the man created the daughter, and she left, and she became a harlot. She went and did her own thing. She attached herself to people and men that God didn't approve of. What does that say to us today, right? God created you. And did you know just because God created you, that doesn't mean you're saved? Not all of God's creation are saved. We must put our faith in Christ in order to be saved. And so if you're here today and you're reasoning in your heart, I just want to encourage you. God sent his son to die for you so that you could live with him forever. Verse 10. So now he's getting into the high priest. Right? He who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointed oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. So now we're talking about high priest, right? And just a quick note in Matthew 26, when they're accusing, when he asked Jesus, are you the Christ? Right? Are you God? And he said, I am. And he tore his clothes. He wasn't supposed to do that. Because the high priests were supposed to keep it together. Right, he's accusing God of breaking, he's accusing Jesus of breaking the law. He's over breaking the law himself. Right? Verse 11, nor shall he go near any dead body nor defile himself for his father or his mother. So he can't even defile himself for his father or his mother. He can't even go to their funerals, the high priest. Higher standards. Verse 12, nor shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, I am the Lord. That word right there for the consecration, you put crown. For the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, I am the Lord. Do you guys remember in Leviticus chapter 16, when the priest came down, he took off his garments and he put on those white linens, right? And that was a picture of his earthly vessel. That was a picture of his earthly ministry. Right, and he offered the sacrifices of the two goats, and then when it was all said and done, he put back on his garments, right, and he went back up to the Lord. Now he's sitting at the right hand. So this is what this is here, because look what it says in verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity. Right, now he can take a wife in her virginity. Did you know that you are the virgin bride of Christ? Yeah. You see, because the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, he paid our sins for us. Those who come to faith, you are now clean. You are now pure in the eyes of the Lord. And we're going to talk about this in a few more passages here. And it says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. You are that chaste virgin bride that is married to the Lord, right? And because now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He put on those garments, and now he's back up there, right? And it says, verse 14, a widow or a divorced woman or a defiled woman or a harlot, these he shall not marry, but he shall take a virgin of his own people as a wife. You see, no one can become that chaste virgin without the blood of Jesus covering them. He doesn't just take anybody. And that's what we have to understand, that we're really narrow-minded. People might look at you and be like, hey, you're narrow-minded. You could just tell them, you don't know how narrow-minded I am. There's only one way. There's only one way. He's not going to take any other woman as a bride unless they are covered in the blood of Jesus. Right? And so, and there it is again in verse 13, nor shall he profane his posterity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. There's that word sanctify again. We saw it in the previous verses. We're going to talk about it at the end, sanctification. Right? And so if he took a woman who was a harlot, right, the kids would not be holy. Right? They would be stained. But because he took a virgin bride, those who are in Christ, right, the kids will now be holy. Verse 16, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. So now we switch it a little bit. He's talking about all the children that came after Aaron. He said, if they have any defect, they cannot offer the sacrifices of the Lord. And then he's going to go on to explain these defects. Verse 18, he says, for any man who has a defect shall not approach, a man blind or lame or has a marred face or a limb too long, a man who has a broken foot, a broken hand, or a hunchback, a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eyes, or eczema, or scab, or is a eunuch. Nothing. Nothing. Why? Why is that? Because the priest is a picture of Christ. Right? And God requires perfection. So no defects, no son of Aaron who had any kind of defect could serve in offering the sacrifices. Verse 21, no man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest who has a defect, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread. He can't even go near the sacrifice. He can't. We're going to explain why. And this verse right here, you guys underline this verse. This verse almost had me in tears. Verse 22. He said, he may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. This man or this woman or this man, whatever defect they had, they couldn't offer the sacrifices. Why? Because the sacrifice had to be perfect. The priest had to be perfect, which is a picture of Christ. Right? But he said, you can partake of the holy things. This is us. This is us. We have defects. Right? We have issues. We have problems. We have been marred by people. We have marred people. People have hurt us and cut us. We have cut and hurt people. And can I tell you something? You got to remember this. You have to remember this. When you're in Christ, he doesn't see your sin. Man, what a blessing. He doesn't see your sin. And some of you need to hear that, because some of you are stuck in your past. Some of you are stuck in those things that you did or you didn't do or what happened to you. He doesn't see you like that anymore. He was the hunchback, the person with scabs, right? The limbs too long, the broken foot, they can still partake of the holy things of the Lord. You may see those things in your life, but that's not how God sees you. And because you're in Christ, even with all the flaws that you see in your life, you can still partake of the work that God has for you. He doesn't see your sin, right? It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. It's the Word that convicts us. You know how Christ sees you? You know how God sees you? He sees you in Christ. You are complete in Christ, right? And so then, what does that mean for us? Right now, we walk in that holiness. We walk as he's called us to walk. You see, we often think that the Lord looks at us the way we see ourselves, and that's just not true. That's just not true. And so remember that it's your healing, right? And it's your brokenness that's going to bring glory to God. Both. It's good to walk in the light. It's good to be that salt and the light that God, but it's also good to let people know, like, man, I came from a broken place. Both of them are going to bring glory to the Lord. And we saw that in Luke 5 a couple weeks ago. Right? Remember that your healing, the evidence of your healing and the evidence of your brokenness is going to bring glory to the Lord. Right? Sometimes people look at you and they see you walk in and think, man, I could never be like that. But then they find out where you came from and they're like, man, there's hope. Right? They find out the things you used to do, how you used to be, how you used to act. Like, man, there's hope for me. But use it wisely. Use your past wisely, right? It's for his glory, not for our glory. And then with verse chapter 22, it says, 1 and 2, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. So the children of Israel bought their sacrifices, right? And these priests were supposed to take the sacrifices and, you know, different things were supposed to happen. And he says, be careful when you do this. Right? Now he's talking about the person in Christ. The priest, right? The man that's in Christ. He's saying, hey, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. If there's stuff going on in here, if there's stuff going on in here, if there's stuff going on in your life that needs to be taken care of, don't be offering these sacrifices on my behalf. He's saying, be careful, right? Separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel. Let's go down to verse 4. It says, whatever man of the descendants of Aaron who was a leper, right? What was a leper? A leper lived outside the camp of God. They weren't partaking, right? Who has a discharge, right? A discharge in their arms. That means your flesh is acting up, right? Shall not eat the holy offerings until he is cleaned. And whoever touches anything made unclean by a corpse, right? What do we talk about the corpse? Going back to your old ways, going back to your old thinking, going back to that old man, that old woman, right? Those things defile us. And he says, hey, before you offer my sacrifices, make sure none of these things are going on in your life. And then what does he say? He says, or a man who has an emission of semen, right? That's the lewdness just coming out of us. Jude talks about that, right? He says, man, I wanted to write about our common faith. But then I said, no, I need to write to you about contending for the faith because of what's going on inside the church. He said, there's men creeping into the church who have turned the grace of God into lewdness, right? Uncontrollable lust. Like, hey, God is so gracious, man, live how you want. Think how you want, right? And that's what that word of the emission of semen is. Like, this uncontrollable, just, hey, just do what I want, right? We can see Samson. That was a picture of Samson. Verse 5, whoever touches any creeping thing by which he would be made unclean or any person by whom he would become unclean, whatever his uncleanness may be. And so what's the word for us? Right? If you're one and you have your hands in the work of the Lord, right? Whether you're a worship leader, whether you're on the cleaning ministry, or whether you're teaching, or whether you're leading, or whether you're just helping out with VBS, he says, examine yourself. Examine yourself before you do my work. Examine yourself. And again, we always say this. It's not about perfection. It's just about acknowledging and addressing the things that God is already speaking to you. Right? Whatever that may be. It could be something you're doing outwardly. It could be something in here. Right? It could be greed. It could be many things. He said, just address them before you minister on my behalf. Verse 6. The person who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening. And so what does that mean, until evening? Christ died at evening, right? And so if they were unclean and they saw it, they had to separate themselves and they were unclean until evening. So right at evening, they were made clean. It's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of him sacrificed, being sacrificed in the evening and rising again the third day, right? When we come to Christ, forgive me, Lord. That's all it is. That's all it is. No matter what they did, when evening came, they were clean because it's a picture of Christ. The person who has touched any such thing shall be unclean until evening and shall not eat the holy offerings unless he washes his body with water. And when the sun goes down, he shall be clean, and afterward he may eat the holy offerings because it is his food. Right? Wash his body with water. I can't express enough the importance of you getting into your word every day. This word will wash you. It'll wash you. It'll expose you. It exposes me. It exposes me so much that I'm thinking, what am I doing being a pastor? I'm thinking, this is crazy. Like, this ministers and it cuts, right? And it rebukes. And so I just want to encourage you, right? Come and hear the word. Get into the word yourself. Open it up and allow it to wash you. Just wash you. Remember, we don't have the right perspective of holiness that the Lord does. His word does. And when we get away from him and his word and devotion, man, it becomes about us in a heartbeat. Right? It becomes about our own strength. We're living off of yesterday's manna, last month's manna, and we think, right? And then it just becomes, Christianity just becomes a burden. Then it just becomes a play. Now you're just trying to pretend. Right? And so this wash is all through Leviticus, allowing the word to wash you. If you're here today and the word is ministering to you, just allow the word of God to do what it does and confess and repent. Confess and repent, right? And so one of the things that we have a hard time, I believe, with this confessing and repenting with the Lord is like, man, I always do this. That's good. That means you'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And so then we often think God, you know, forgives us the way we forgive people, right? How, you know, when people hurt us over and over again and we're called to forgive them, right? Like how do we feel? Yeah, okay, right? But just know this, that's not the way that God forgives us. Right? He takes your sin to an uninhabitable land and he leaves it there for never to return to you again. And so don't hold on to it. Right? Don't coddle your sin. Right? Just because your flesh loves sin doesn't mean it's lovable. Right? You cannot properly love Christ until we begin to hate our sin. We can't, because if we don't hate our sin, you know what we begin to do? We worship God, we love God, and then we kind of just compromise with these things over here. Man, ask the Lord to help you to hate your sin and watch yourself fall in love with the Lord. Yeah. And that's something we learn in, that's something we grow in, right? It's not something that we just happens right away. We're going to skip and go to verse 17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings, which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering. And so now he's saying, hey, when you bring a free will offering or you make a vow to the Lord, right? You bring it and it's representative of the burnt offering. And it says, verse 19, it says, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, and from the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. And I'm just going to read one more verse and we'll talk about this. Verse 22 and 23, sorry. Those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Either a bull or a lamb that has any limb too long or too short, you may offer as a freewill offering, but for a vow it is not accepted. And so he's talking about bringing these offerings to the Lord. Right? When you read Malachi 1, they were just bringing lame, hurt animals, right, to the temple. And God told the children of Israel, he said, go give those to your governor and see what he says. Go give them to your governor. And this is what happens, right? We begin to let our guard down. We forget who we are in Christ. You see, the which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, that offering is an offering of consecration. That's an offering of separation. You're coming to the Lord and you're saying, man, Lord, I'm committed to you. And so you give an unblemished animal. Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm going to live for you. I made a commitment to you, Lord. I'm going to go for it. See, but what often happens is we lose sight. We lose sight. And then like the children of Israel, we come to the Lord with broken animals. Right? Animals that are lame. Right? Animals that shouldn't even be given to the governor. And why is it important that these animals were without blemish? Because they were a picture of Christ. Right? Did they know it back then? No. No. And that's why God gave Moses and gave Aaron the revelation. The priest, and it talks about several places in the scripture that the priests were supposed to teach the people. It said that, and I don't know if the numbers are true or not, that for how many Israelites there were and how many priests there were 50 people to every priest. It's a small church. So it's very doable where they could just minister to these things, minister to the people, the things they're learning. And so, but oftentimes we just get in this relaxed state and we just come to the Lord and we forget about who we are in Christ. We forget about the sin that he took on for, the wrath he took on for us. And we just get careless. And we just start coming to him and offering, you know, lame, broken things. Right? We just let our guard down. And here's what I want to encourage you, right? Because some of you are like, yeah, I'm at that place right now, right? See, what's going to happen is you're going to rely on your experience, right? And when you rely on your experience, it can hinder you from walking with the Lord. Well, this is how I did it before. This is how I've been doing it, and this is how I'm getting through. Okay, and sometimes those experiences are attached with emotions and feelings. So then it's like, well, this is how I need to do it. Like Jesus told Peter when he was in the boat and he didn't cast out, hey, throw that net on the other side. That's what some of you may have to do today. You just may have to get that net and throw it on the other side and watch the Lord work in your life. And remember who you are in Christ. You're called to holiness, right? We're called to be that reflection of that salt and that light that he said we are. But we trust our experience sometimes. And we keep going back to those experiences because we're comfortable there. Even if they're not getting us nowhere, we're just comfortable with our experiences. And I want to encourage you today, if you're there and man, come get prayer. Get some accountability to help you throw that net on the other side and watch what the Lord will do in your life. Right? Verse 31. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you and brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Right? What is it? Verse 31, I said it there. therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. Right? Hear them and do them. Same thing James told us. Keep them, hear them, and do them. It's the same word. It's the same word. Now I want to finish off talking about sanctification, because in chapter 21, it mentioned that the Lord sanctifies you three times. Chapter 22, it mentions that the Lord sanctifies you three times. And here, right here at the end, it mentions at the end of verse 32, right, that, what does it say? I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So six times in two chapters. And another way to say that is, I am Yahweh who makes you holy. I am Yahweh who makes you holy. Remember, when you come to the Lord, the sanctification process begins immediately. Let me read that. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. See, the Lord gave them a word. They had to keep the word, and then they had to obey it. You know what the Lord was doing? He was driving Egypt out of them. It took one day to redeem them out of Egypt. It took 40 years, right, to get Egypt out of them. It's the same with us, right? How does that work? He gave them the word. They were supposed to walk in obedience. Why? He's conforming them to the image of his son. He's conforming to the image of his character, of his nature. And that's what the word does for us today, right? And so where does this happen? This happens in your marriage, right? This is what the epistles tell us. Happens in your marriage, happens with your children, happens at work, happens in society, happens in the church. That's where the sanctification process is happening. You say, you may think, oh, I have a marriage problem, or I have a work problem, or I have a child problem. It may not even be that. You may have a crisis of faith. Just trust in God, what he said in these situations. You may hate your job, but that may be the place where God wants to sanctify you and conform you into the image of his son. Right? We go to work. Do we hear the word and do we apply it? Or do we just go to work and like, ugh. Right? Just complain about the people, complain about the boss, complain about the pay, complain about this. That may be the place where God wants to do a work in your life. It's just looking at it from a whole different perspective. Right? Holiness from God's perspective, not our perspective. In your marriage. Right? Same thing in your marriage, thinking, man, why did I marry this person? And the Lord, like, man, I want to do a work in your life. Love and respect your spouse the way I've called you to. You know, but we have so many excuses. So many excuses. But Lord, and the Lord's like, I don't care what they're doing. How have I called you to live? Do you see? It's the Lord who's sanctifying you everywhere with your kids. With your kids. I wish I could do it over my kids. Man, I just wish I could do it over my kids. I just want to tell you and remind you that your kids need to see that you are broken too. They do. Right? We're adults. And we don't want to submit to our to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God. They're kids. Right? How are they supposed to understand? They're little sinners like us. Right? But it just, right, I just wasn't going to be disrespected in my home. And man, I just wish I could go back. And why am I saying this? Not so you feel sorry, man. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. It's okay to let your kids see your brokenness, that you go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and not always have it together. And then just, you know, when they blow it, you know, right? Like I did. Right? The Lord wants to sanctify you as you're teaching your children. As you're giving to your kids, as you're raising them, he's doing a work in your life, teaching you patience, teaching you how to shepherd, right? Teaching you how to love those who you pour into and don't give no love back. You see, you're learning, you're being sanctified in that process. Society, right? Jeez, don't even go there. I keep saying, I'll say it again, laws don't change people. I encourage you to vote. Vote. But at the same time, right, even if we get the laws in favor and lined up biblically, people still aren't going to be saved. We still need to get up out of our chairs and go and share with the people that we know. Right? We have to. Man, I got to tell you this story. It happened to me today. So 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we moved into Eastville and met a couple guys down the street, and we were just talking and hanging out. And then I work out at 24-Hour Fitness, and one day they were working out there. And so I just saw them there, hey, would you start talking, right? And then just done praying right there, I just said, hey, can I pray for you guys? Pray for them. One time. And then so now we're looking at 2 years later, right? I would drive by and I would see the guy. One of the guys moved out of the neighborhood, moved back to LA, and the other guy, he still lived there with his kids and his wife. And I would say, hey, how you doing? So I just, you know, shake his hand and just kept going. This guy went to the front of my house. And my son-in-law was outside, and he said, hey, is your dad a pastor? And he goes, yeah. And so my son calls me, and he comes in, and he says, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready. And I was like, what? And he goes, I want whatever it is you're offering, I want. And he just shared the gospel. Man, we got on our hands and our faces right there, right in the living room, right when I was preparing for this message. And you see, how you live out there matters. Now, I wish I could say I live like that all the time. I fail many times. I couldn't believe it. Usually I got Mormons, right, and Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm defending the word. And this guy says, I'm ready. And pray for him. He said he's going to be here next Sunday. Right? So it matters. It matters how you live. When the Lord prompts you and you're out there and he's leading you to just go pray for somebody or minister to somebody, man, go do it. You don't know what the Lord's going to do. The sanctification process is working all the time in your life with your family. Right? Those who were having a hard time forgiving. Man, I needed to hear that. Right? Can we go and forgive them? Right? Or are we going to hold on? Right? And make them pay. Right? And that, you know, that's why we hold grudges. Because we're making them pay. They're going to pay for what they did to me. And then we harden our hearts. Right? You see, in that, when you say, okay, Lord, what are you showing me to do here? How are you calling me to live? Man, he is sanctifying you. He is making you holy in that moment. He is conforming you to the image of Christ. Do you see it's going on all around? And we can give example after example. And so that's why he says, right, I, the Lord, sanctify you. I, the Lord, sanctify you. When he's saying, I am Yahweh who makes you holy. And so he's the one who's doing that work in your life. Let him. Let him. Remember, this is holiness from his perspective, not our perspective. Right? Because the way we want to do things, we have a tendency to get in trouble. This is his perspective. And we need to remember that. Okay. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are marred and we are broken and we are hurt, Father, and who knows what else, Lord. We thank you because of your Son, Lord, we can partake of the holy things, Father. We can partake of your goodness, Lord. We can partake of the peace that we have with you, Lord, the fellowship, Father. We can partake of serving you, Father, serving with you, Lord, serving for you, Father. We can partake of proclaiming your word, Father. We can partake of being consecrated, Father, by you, Lord. Even with all of our defects, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, help us, Father, to walk in light of how you see holiness, Lord, not how we see holiness, Father. How you see, Father, the sanctifying process, Father. Help us, Lord. Give us the courage and the boldness, Father, to step into that, Lord. It can be scary, Father. So help us, Lord. We need you, Father. We need you, Lord. We thank you for the word, Father. And again and again and again, Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.